So, as I was saying, hello world, my name is Don, and you're watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, July 10, 2022. Stop the presses, this is our Sunday show, and that of course means trailers and weird news. Or sorry, that means weird news by itself. I have a thing happening here right now, which is not very helpful, so I'm going to try to do this one more time. Oh boy. Come on. Work for daddy. There we are. Wow, there's always something. Gilda Radner was right. There's always something. What can you do? Anyway, so weird headlines, Sunday night, and we have your live chat comments as well. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. Don't forget to hit that like button and the subscription bell. And as always, if you're with me live, feel free to drop a line in the live chat directly to my left, your right on the screen, if you're on PC or whatever. And I might read it off on the air. So let's go ahead and get started with the first order of business. Hello. Wow, that wasted no time. We have a viewer already in the chat. Hello, Becca. How are you doing? Good to see you. Thanks for watching. Let's go ahead and move into our first topic for the night. Let's see. Next topic. Trying to load this up right now. Come on. There we go. Okay, so this is from National Public Radio. Come on. Oh, well, I guess we can go ahead and do this one first because it loaded up at the bottom here. We'll come back to the rubber ducky thing in a moment. Mexican mayor, this is from Insider. Mexican mayor marries alligator dressed as a bride in traditional prosperity ceremony. Okay. So I've heard of being an animal lover, but this seems to be taking it to a different degree. This is from Insider. It was published on July 3rd. By the way, we're doing stuff a little bit older than a week. Usually we would do stuff within the last week here on Weird News and actually on the trailer show, which we do on Fridays. But regular viewers of the channel know that we took last Sunday off for the 4th of July holiday. So we're sort of trying to cover both bases last week and this week, or I should say the previous week and this week. So we're going to try to go ahead and blow through this as quickly and efficiently as we can here for this next hour. So Victor Hugo Sosa, the mayor of San Pedro Jamelula, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but that's the best I got. Apologies if I got it wrong. The mayor of San Pedro Jamelula in Mexico wed an alligator bride in hopes of bringing prosperity to his community, according to Reuters. On Thursday, in a ritual ceremony that dates to pre-Hispanic times, the mayor kissed and danced with the 7-year-old reptile who was dressed in a white bridal dress as a prayer for the nature's bounty. The alligator, with its mouth bound shut, is believed to be a deity representing Mother Earth. The marriage symbolizes the connection between and the divine. Okay. here comes the bride. I guess is the only real reaction to have to that off the top of the head, I guess. Goodness, I don't even have goodness. We asked nature for enough rain food that we have fish in the river. Writers reported, so as I said, during the ceremony in the small fishing village near Oaxaca. O-A-X-A-C-A, Oaxaca is how. During the procession, trumpets blared and locals carried the bride in their arms and fanned her with their hats. Ilia Edith Aguilar, known as the godmother of the alligator who organized the wedding, told Reuters she spent a lot of time carefully picking garments for the alligator to wear for the ceremony. Okay, so this is one of those special sort of events that is of clearly great significance to the local population. It's just, it's gone to a degree that I did not see coming, but apparently this is of great significance and hopefully this actually will, on some level or another, bear reward for them. I don't know, but I'm still on this first thing. I'm still on this first photograph here of the bride in the little mini gown. This means somebody actually made the straight up bridal gown and sized it for a literal crocodile. Like that's, or alligator, excuse me, an alligator. I always get the two confused, darn it. It's a really easy sort of like mix up to make. Can somebody who's watching in the comments feed, can somebody help out with like what the distinction is between between alligator and crocodile? Becca Cardenas in the comments feed saying it's pronounced more like Oaxaca, W-A-H-A-C-A, LOL, my mom's from there. Oh, okay, fair enough. All right, so Oaxaca is how that's pronounced. what was it? The small filling vicious. The mayor person said during the ceremony in the small fishing village near Oaxaca is how that's pronounced. So there you go. Thanks very much for that, Becca. Let's move on to the next item. This, more information on this and all the topics that we'll be discussing tonight are listed in the description down below this video as per usual. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in to the channel to Weekend Showcase live right now on YouTube. And we're also, as always, live streaming on Instagram at Weekend Showcase. And we're talking about weird news and taking your live chat comments. Please feel free to drop a line in the live chat. I might read it off on the air. Thanks so much for smashing that like button and subscription bell. This is from PC Gamer. Bungie's absurd $185 Nerf Gjallarhorn reloads like the in-game weapon. I actually heard about this. This is something in connection with the very popular shooter game Destiny 2, which I do play on a personal note fairly frequently. I'm realizing I should have worn a different shirt. I should have worn something related to this, but I guess, because I did find out we might be doing something about this this coming, well, tonight for weird news, basically. But if I was thinking, I would have thought of that with the wardrobe planning ahead. But oh well, I try to like tie it in every so often. All right, let's go ahead and take a look. So the rocket launcher comes in a 40-inch box and pre-orders go live next week. Okay, here we are. The Destiny rocket launcher Gjallarhorn is one of the most beloved guns in a game that, let's face it, is all about collecting guns and shooting things with them. Ludicrously sized and ludicrously overpowered to varying extents, depending on which period of the game we're talking. If there is such a thing as an iconic Destiny weapon, then this is it. Last year, Bungie announced a collaboration with Nerf, makers of countless foam-blasting toy weapons, and Gjallarhorn was the obvious choice. Now the finished product is being shown off in advance of pre-orders opening up next week, and there's a lengthy post on Bungie's site about the design process. This is one of those things that, you know, you can sort of like, this is one of those things where if you're a fan of the game, there's a part of, depending on your age, there's a part of your mind that sure might have always wanted to sort of like wield it, basically, just to sort of like what it'll actually feel like. Cause you know, even VR can only go but so far, but you know, having this actually exist in the context of a Nerf weapon, I mean, it's like, I mean, if you're going to do it, this is the best way to do it, you know, obviously, but it's just like, I can't imagine. I'm trying to think about like, who is the target audience for this? Are they going for like, I don't know what the age of this this model that they have holding the this weapon is. Like, is, are we going for late teens with this, mid to late teens with this, that we're expecting to, I guess, beg their parents for help with the bill of a $185 Nerf weapon in an age where, you know, we have kind of like more important financial obligations to deal with, especially if you're like hitting your 20s, I don't know, college, I don't know, just thinking aloud. Anyway, Nerf Gjallarhorn goes big, designed to use three of the company's biggest darts at once. The senior project engineer at Nerf, Justin Sakun, says, with that show, we're shooting three of those mega darts at once, which gives that visual sense of the Wolfpack rounds, the ammunition that the rocket launcher uses in games, swirling and flying through the air towards your interesting. And then the story goes there. We looked at all the reloading enemies and how these function in the game. We wanted to integrate how it reloads in the game so the entire top housing of the blaster itself shifts forward. It opens the loading bay just like it does in the game. You pop the shell in just like the animation, then you pull it back and you're ready to blast off a burst of three megadarts. I wish there was a video. Wait, is this a video? Hang on. Oh, and this is a slideshow. Darn it. Well, you can see a pretty clear detail there. They really sort of nailed the design aesthetic. I wouldn't have gone with orange and white, this like Nickelodeon sort of color scheme there. I wouldn't have gone with that necessarily, but I'm sure there's a demographic for this. Those of you who are really into Destiny, I mean, hey, like hit us up in the comments section. Is this something that you wouldn't mind forking down roughly $200, factoring in, you know, tax and shipping if you don't have Prime or whatever, to actually have in real life in Nerf form? I don't know. Hit us up, start a discussion. Let's move on. Next topic. We have a brain spaz in the house. Hello, good to see you. Thanks so much for watching. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next topic. This is from National Public Radio. We were trying to do this a moment ago, but then my browser sort of glitched up. Rubber ducky watches that don't tell time clock in TikTok views. I almost read that wrong. All right, let's take a look at this. Redefining novelty, I guess. This is just, I don't know how else to put this. Jeez. Oh, Becca says, perfect. Thank you. Perfect. Got the pronunciation right. Okay. So this is from National Public Radio, first published the previous week, July 5th. Regarding the alligator crocodile thing, Brain Spaz says, I think the difference has something to do with the shape of the mouth or head or something. Can you please like do a little bit of Googling and maybe post paste what you find in the live chat so we can know that for sure, please, Brain Spaz. Thank you so much if you get a chance to do that while this is going in the background. I'll keep us rolling at the next topic here. So this is regarding a rubber ducky watch. Let's see. Kevin Bertorero has disdain for time. Bertorero said, quote, how many times do you look at a clock or look at time and are happy? When was the last time you were like, oh, sick, it's 10:30. Awesome, end quote. That's one of the reasons the 30-year-old has been making watches that don't tell time. They're meant to be worn like a traditional watch, except you won't see a clock face when checking your wrist. Instead, you'll find a tiny 3D-printed pool with magnetic duckies and bubbles. After leaving a stressful job at a plant-based yogurt startup, Bertorero wanted to engage his, quote, child self, end quote. He was using all sorts of strategies to work through childhood trauma at the time. Bertorero said, quote, I think all of us are low-key traumatized. You can't not be living in modern society to some degree, end quote. He said when people's traumas flare up, they use shopping, socializing, or community involvement to mitigate discomfort. Bertorero found another option, cute things. Okay, and this looks like a little GIF image of the wristwatch in question, which again, does not tell time, and that is by design. I guess it's just something for people to sort of, I guess, have a chuckle about as they're going through their life or and obligations or whatever. Here's Becca in the live chat again. 420. Just kidding. Hey, it's 420 somewhere, I suppose, or I guess rubber ducky o'clock, if you want to be a little bit more about it. So little rubber duckies popped into his mind. I went ahead a little bit too far. The idea for watches that don't tell time came to Bertorero in a state of semi-sleep, a watch that's sleek like an Apple Watch, but fun and interactive like Legos. Little rubber duckies popped into his mind as something indisputably cute. He knew he wanted to make them tiny because the tinier something is, the cuter it is, the more people love it. Bertorero says the sensory aspect of being able to touch and move the ducks are similar to toys like fidget spinners or slime. Bertorero said he's always been attracted to art, but has no formal training. He found ways to express himself creatively at his local makerspace, where he learned how to 3D print. Nice! Used a friend's resin 3D printer to print a little pool for the ducks to sit in. He posted the process to TikTok, and to his surprise, the video went viral. Okay, here we go. We have the embedded video. Let's try and take a look at this and see what we got.
These tiny, tiny ducks need a home. Build a pond thing. A pool is better. Make sure they can see over the edge.
Oh yeah, you got to.
I like the colors, but let's make it a watch. Oops, first one to thin. A second one way better.
That always annoys
Actually,
me.
Actually, I love this yellow band.
The artificial
Let's design the pool to fit the band. Nailed it. Just need to paint it.
Interesting. Now that's nice. That's nice when you can actually sort of like come up with a like come up with an idea for something and you have access to the means and the capacity with which to actually follow it through, like at the very least on a small scale, individual basis, just for yourself, if absolutely nothing else. You know, it's as opposed to just having the idea fester in the back of your mind until it's eventually and inevitably forgotten, as has happened countless times. You know, here we go. This is from Brain Spaz regarding the previous topic, the alligator versus crocodile distinction. Brain Spaz says, I found this. Alligators have a U-spaced rounded snout that is wide and short, whereas crocodiles have a longer pointed V-shaped snout. Okay, so alligators have a U snout, crocodiles have a V-shaped snout. Okay. Okay, so that basically takes care of the distinction there between alligators and crocodiles. So definitely can tell that by looking. It's like straight head on at the crocodile. That was a U-shaped snout on the bride there. Thank you, Brain Spaz, for pointing that out. Becca says, alligators are more docile in nature. Crocodiles are more aggressive. Yeah, but by the time you factor that distinction in, you're probably already dead from the crock. So I don't know that that's a really sort of necessarily the best way to determine that. Definitely the U-shape versus V-shape one probably would be better. I guess that's just me thinking aloud again, I guess, maybe. But in any case, thank both of you for the comments and the feedback. Let's move on to the next discussion topic here. See, we're about 20 minutes in right now on our Weird News stream live on YouTube and on Instagram as well at Weekend Showcase. Let's move on to the next topic here, which is loading. Come on. There we go. So this is, again, National Public Radio. Spiders can fear other spiders. This is a thing. Are we sure this is a thing? If you're not so fond of spiders, this is from National Public Radio, posted on July 6. If you're not so fond of spiders, you may find kindred spirits in other spiders. Researcher Daniela Rossler worked with jumping spiders and found that they know to get away from the presence of other possible predator spiders, even if they've never encountered them before. She talks with Jose Godoy about her research and what Halloween decorations do to the poor spiders, if arachnids can have arachnophobia. I guess they have an audio clip of this interview, I guess, that was conducted. It's a 12-minute clip. We are not going to play that whole thing, but you can definitely go to the actual website at National Public Radio, NPR.org. The link to this full topic is in the description down below if you want to check that out a little later. And they also apparently have links to Daniela's research and videos of the experiment. And the video is also on her Twitter feed, according to that. So that's interesting. Let me try one thing here and see how long this one video is. Hopefully it's really short. If it's not, I'll just go ahead and skip it and go through to the next project. Like I said, everything else is here, so. Do they have any embedded videos in here? Subject details, come on. Why is this having such trouble loading? Darn it. Oh well, shoot. Yeah, we don't have time to dig like this. Let's go ahead and move on. Like I said, the link's in the description if you want to check it out for yourself. Let's move on. Let's see if, oh, Becca in the comments feed again. If you live, it's an alligator. If you're dead, it's a croc. Ha ha ha. I mean, yeah, sure. If you want to go ahead and just be like, I guess, darkly cynical about the distinction there. Yeah, I guess that's a valid point. Still sticking with the nose thing. Still sticking with the nose. Hopefully, I don't think we have an indigenous crocodile or alligator population necessarily in at least my part of Virginia. Not 100% sure on that. Don't want to say like for sure either way on the record here, but I guess useful food for thought for those of you, especially in like places like Florida, who like that's, you're known for having either alligator or crocodile population indigenous to your area. Definitely look for the rounded snout to determine if it's an alligator, and V-shape if it's a crocodile. So that's a thing there if you didn't already know. Let's move on. So next topic is from The Mirror, which is from the UK. Woman delighted as hubby loses hated hat at sea, but finds it later that day. That's unfortunate, sort of. Is it fortunate or unfortunate? I guess fortunate for the hat. I don't know. Whatever. Let's go on. Let's see. This is posted on July 6th. A woman who rejoiced when her husband lost the hat she banned him from wearing after it blew out to sea has found her victory to be short-lived after the hat washed up on shore just a few hours later. Richard Beer, epic last name there, was taking photographs along the jetty of Viking Bay in Broadstairs, Kent in June when a strong gust of wind blew his favorite straw Panama hat off his head and into the water below. And while Richard was gutted to have lost his 20-year-old hat, wow, had that for 20 years, his wife Linda Beer struggled to contain her joy as she had previously imposed a ban on the item because of how, quote unquote, tatty it looked. However, Linda's excitement was cut short later in the day when Richard, 74, went for a walk after his pub lunch and spotted his beloved hat hanging on a post after it had washed up on the shore. How did he know that it was his, though? It could have just been any old hat. Like, were there like initials in the tag or something? Like, how do you sort of like, you can just tell that by looking, I guess, or if there's some other like sort of distinctive scuff marks or pieces missing. I guess if you've had this thing for 20 years, I guess you know it that well, but let's see. Richard from Dartford, Kent said, quote, I'm delighted to have it back, especially after its recent episode and the fact I was almost forbidden from wearing it, which is now not the case. She'd asked me not to wear it as she thought it was too shabby and beaten up. Maybe I wasn't living up to her sartorial expectations. It's a bit heavy. It's not exactly a prime piece of sartorial wear. It's just a straw hat. End quote. So yeah, there you go. There's the comparison. There's the actual hat being worn on the left and the hat where it was found on the right. That's a pretty close ringer there, I guess. Sort of not factoring in the lighting change, obviously. Wow, I guess that is we can put that as sort of like bizarre news that like somebody actually found that and didn't throw it in the trash. They actually just hung it out on a post or something as though that's just a lost and found, just a community lost and found. It's understood that any article of clothing hung on this post on the sidewalk facing street side is up for grabs, presumably to the person who had recently lost it, if they even happened to pass by and notice it. There seems to be a lot of little like coincidental sort of factors that would have to come into play for that to work out, but there you go. Woof. Next topic is a little hard to start here. This is again from the Mirror. Woman's teeth disintegrate while waiting for treatment as dentists quit the NHS, which I believe stands for National Health Service. Wow. Okay. Good grief. More than 1,400, this was posted on July 9th. More than 1,400 dentists have cut ties with the NHS, forcing patients to suffer in silence or fork out, go private. Figures show Britain is on the brink of a dental disaster after surgeries were forced to close during the pandemic and have struggled to catch up with demand. After COVID floored practices in 2020 and 21, 1,414 dentists quit and patients missed 28 million courses of treatment. Oh my goodness. A survey suggests another 1 in 4 NHS dentists could soon go private. Tory MP Peter Aldous recently told colleagues that the upshot of millions being unable to find dentists was thousands in agony resorting to DIY tooth extraction, undiagnosed mouth cancers, and the poorest hit hardest. Wow. One of those suffering is Anne Goodacre, 75. She has been calling her local dentist in Saxmundham, Suffolk every 2 weeks for 2 years. Every 2 weeks for 2 years. But they aren't taking on new patients. She said, my front teeth are disintegrating. They're cutting my gums and need to come out, but I can't afford to go private. I'll need to eat pureed food soon. Ooh. Oh my goodness. The story kind of goes on here, but it's a little bit, it gets harder to read as you kind of go on here. Wow. Let's see. Okay, Dr. Nigel Carter, director of the Oral Health Foundation, said it was a perfect storm of COVID, Brexit, and lack of a government review. He added, quote, I can't see the situation getting any better. BDA polling says 23% of dentists will leave the National Health Service within the next 16 months, end quote. Dr. Carter accused the government of dragging its feet and added, quote, we need to train more dentists, government inaction and failure to follow through and deliver is a strong part of the problem, quote. Okay. Wow. I'm still stuck on that first image here. This is, wow. That's bizarre. That's bizarre. When you have a situation, when your health situation is so sort of wheels spinning in mud, basically, that you can actually track your own progress down that slippery slope that happens when something goes and like undiagnosed or whatever, right? This is one of those things that's honestly painful to even think about. I hope that gets resolved soon. I don't know. There's more information available about this in the original link in the description down below, as well as with all of our other stories tonight in the description. Let's go ahead and move on. Next topic. This is again from the Mirror. I know, Ms. D says, poor woman. Harry's situation from the Mirror is our next topic here. Woman gets eyebrow transplant with hair from head, but has to keep cutting them. Wow. Okay, let's take a closer look. Is this video gonna load? I'm not sure this video is gonna load. embedded videos from Mirror tend to have a habit of not really sort of working properly. I don't know about this one. All right, whatever. Let's just go ahead and move on here. A woman who overplucked her eyebrows as a teenager has undergone an eyebrow transplant using hair from her head, but she now needs to get them cut back once a month. Isabel Kutsi, K-U-T-X-I, is that even how you pronounce that? I'm not sure. Kutsi used to spend 30 minutes every morning drawing on brows, but after being desperate to have thick and fluffy brows, she decided to go under the knife for an eyebrow transplant. The procedure took 3 hours and involved having individual follicles taken from the back of the 36-year-old's head and inserted into the sparse areas of her eyebrows by hand. Wow. Wow. And looking into the mirror after the procedure was an emotional moment for the beauty brand community manager, who said she burst into tears when she first saw her full brows. Isabel's new look has one drawback, though. She has to get her eyebrows trimmed every month because the hairs grow as fast as the hair on her head. She said, the fun fact is that, the fun fact is that the hair is still growing like real head hair. They don't stop growing like eyebrows. They can grow really long if you don't cut them. Every month I have to go have my eyebrows cut like hair by a friend because I don't want to do something bad. It's worth it to have the eyebrows that I want, end quote. Okay. This is one of those things where it's been said, observed, I guess, that it's really sort of a special kind of, I don't want to say tragic, I want to be very careful here. It's a special kind of off-putting almost, the lengths to which sometimes we will go in the name of putting forward a strong, confident, you know, projected body image or whatever, you know. And this goes across the gamut, regardless of gender, regardless of identity. You know, you do the best you can with what you have to work with based on what you want to do. You know, it's your decision, but man, I can't imagine having to like go to the barber basically, or go to a trusted friend or whatever to have your brows taken care of independently of your actual hair. How does that even happen, where you have the scalp hair get implanted and just the follicle take, but the hair sort of changes how the follicles work such that they don't just stop growing like normal eyebrow hair? I guess this is sort of like one of those things where, I guess, an exaggerated sort of case of this would be if, for example, you have you get in a horrible accident, right? And you have you have lost an arm, let's say. A donor arm is offered to you. You have the operation, but it turns out the donor arm was from a former baseball player. You wake up with the transplanted arm, and all of a sudden you have a really amazing right throwing arm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things where like the transplanted item sort of brings almost a genetic memory with it to the receiving person, or the receiving body parts in this case. This almost reminds me of that Rick and Morty episode where Morty had like genetic memory for his arm that was like from somebody else. And so his arm sort of had a mind of its own, basically. It's really difficult to describe. I mean, the entire series is on HBO Max and Hulu right now. Those of you who aren't quite familiar with it, you can probably find it there, or other YouTube clips will probably do a better job of actually showing it than I could describe it. But that's just what this reminds me of offhand. MB says, I guess you can get transplants anywhere. Yeah, that's a pretty safe observation, apparently. Ms. D says, I guess she could let them grow and brush them up onto her head. Might start a trend. Nah, wait a minute. So what are you saying? Like, take your brows, brush them up vertically like that? Is that what we're suggesting here? Wow. Okay. That's one of those things where if you take that route, I could see that maybe happening in the context of a tattoo as part of a larger design that would make you completely unable to hold a normal white collar job. But I don't see that happening with hair. I don't see that happening with eyebrow hair that was transplanted to help undo something that was done too far earlier in life. I don't see that happening, but yeah. MB says, at Ms. D, don't give people ideas. I mean, yeah, I gotta agree with MB there. Sorry, but anyway, thanks for commenting and watching. Let's move on to the next topic of the docket here. Oops, my controller died. Hang on a second. Let me go ahead and get this connected so we can move on. Oh, come on. Oh, I know what happened. Batteries died. Hang on, everybody. Let me go ahead and get fresh batteries for my Xbox controller. There we go. All right, back in action. Always be prepared. Moving on, this is from Fox News. Next item on the docket. Worker disappears after he was accidentally paid more than 300 times his salary. What? Okay, hang on a second. Let me get rid of this ad banner here. Okay, so a worker in Chile, this was posted July 3rd. This is another one of the ones that we were originally going to cover on 4th of July holiday, but we took that holiday weekend off. So a worker in Chile submitted his resignation and could not be found after his job accidentally paid him about 330 times his salary because of a payroll error, according to reports. I'm sorry, hold on. We have something going on here. I don't know what that is. Oh. Sorry. This thing just started automatically playing. Thanks, website. All right, anyway. The worker, a dispatch assistant at a cold meats manufacturer, Consorcio Industrial de Alimentos? I swear, some of these need, I'm sorry if I'm like butchering. Anyway, the worker received a paycheck of 165,398,851 Chilean pesos, or $180,418 American for the month of May. He was only supposed to be paid about 500,000 Chilean pesos or $545. Okay, let me take a look at something here. So that was 180. I'm using the calculator app on my computer here. 180,418 over 545. Okay, so that's 331.0422, et cetera. So 331 and change times what this person was originally supposed to have received. The worker initially alerted his manager of the massive overpayment, according to local media outlet Diario Financiero. The manager would then report the issue to human resources, who asked the worker to go to his bank and return the extra money. He agreed to go to the bank the next day, but kept the money and ignored communications from his employer over the next few days. The man then offered his resignation through a letter sent to the company by his attorney. The worker has not been heard from since. Consorcio Industrial de Alimentos has filed a complaint against the worker, alleging he was misappropriating funds, but no arrests have been made so far. Now, this is one of those things where how would you react to this if this was you? If you were at a not necessarily a dead end job, like if you wound up getting overpaid, obviously, I hope it's obvious that the vast majority of us would turn it in. You know, eventually they're going to find this guy, I would think. If this story really happened, I don't know. Like this is one of those ethics tests, I think, for people. You know, the good reaction to do is obviously to turn it in and remain in contact and, you know, get everything returned to the right place. But I don't know. What do y'all think about this? What would you do with this much of an windfall? MB says, I disappear too, change my name, get a fake nose, and always wear contacts. Brain Spaz says, well, let's $545 to stay and be honest, or 180,000 to disappear. Yeah, gone. Becca Cardena says, he shouldn't have alerted anyone, LOL, run, LMFAO. Well, I know when I'm outvoted, I guess. Yeah, Brain Spaz says, right. Yeah, all right, I'm outvoted here, I guess. It seems our audience does not quite agree with my suggestion to turn it in and try to avoid further problems later. Because, I mean, let's face it, when I say further problems, I mean further problems. If you're getting this much windfall unjustifiably, you know, you're going to have to be running for life, basically. You know, that's not to mention penalties. Those sorts of things can compound theoretically, depending on how the financial sort of like setup is kind of done. You know, and if you wind up being on the hook for the company's lawyers as well, like you've got to return all that. That's all after you've returned the money. You know, you could be legally liable for all the lawyers that are involved too on both sides, your defense as well as the company, because you're going to be, they know who you are. They know what you did. There's no real defense. There's no defending that. I don't like the idea of just disappearing with this. I don't know, but that's just me. I mean, what, those of you who are seeing this video later, what do y'all think? Drop a comment down below and let us know what you think later and start a discussion, maybe a civil discussion, hopefully, please. let's move on. Next item on the docket here. Let's see. Oh, additionally, MB also said he did the right thing consulting an attorney. That may be part of it. I mean, it's I can't imagine myself being in that situation. So I don't know. That would strike me as one thing. Hang on. Becca Cardenas says, that's why you don't tell anyone in the first place. Rain Spaz, I'd return a few hundred, but a few hundred thousand, tough. I feel bad, but gotta go. I want to express, reiterate really quickly the comment that's in the disclaimer section in the description section down below, that the views and opinions expressed herein do not necessarily reflect that of Weekend Showcase, but are of those who are commenting themselves, sometimes guests on the show, sometimes other colleagues on the like within the show staff. Sometimes we get random comments from random people here on the live chat and in the comments after the fact, after we're done with the live feed. Hey, anybody can say stuff. And yeah, so do y'all agree with that? Like, where are our ethics people in the audience here? Becca Cardenas says, ha 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 ha. Yeah. Let's see, next item on the docket. Next is from Audie, O-D-D-E-E. I've never heard of that website before. Emirates passenger jet, United Arab Emirates passenger jet completes 14-hour flight with a gaping hole in its side. Whoa, okay, that's weird. Let me see. Emirates flight EK-430 took off from Dubai in the early hours of the morning on June 30. Nearly 14 hours later, the Airbus A380 landed at its destination in Brisbane, Australia, some 20 minutes late. The passengers got out of their seats, grabbed their bags, and started disembarking. But as they got off the plane, they were in for a shocking surprise. There was a massive hole in the side of the airplane. That's not something you want to see when leaving a passenger jet, but the hole definitely would explain the loud bang the crew and passengers heard shortly after takeoff. But that also means that the hole had been there practically the entire flight. Plane had managed to fly halfway across the world with its side torn open. That's an eerie prospect, but we suppose it's a much better alternative than, you know, having the flight end in a sudden nosedive. Yeah, I've heard of something like this happening before. I didn't see it in the news. I just heard this from somebody I know in real life. This was posted on Audi.com on July 6th. This definitely can be filed under the odd news category. MB says, I guess I'm traveling by boat or train from now on. Hey, I've done train before. It's not bad. I actually done a cross-country train ride one time. Boat, I try to stay away from. I don't know. I saw the second Speed movie when I was like 13 or 12, and it traumatized me a little bit. I don't know. It's not full PTSD, but it's like, I don't like the idea of like, no, I'm exaggerating there. I did see the movie, but like, it's, I don't know. I just never got around to it. I don't see myself on a cruise personally or something like that. I don't see myself in a like doing something like that anytime soon. I don't see myself like going out to sea to like fish or something like that, or do snorkeling or whatever. Like, let me just do what I can from what I can, feels enough like dry land. Let me go to a pier and cast my line out while I can like sort of be reasonably tied to terra firma. You know, that's just me. Ms. D says, that does it. If I can't drive, bus, train, or boat, I'm not going. And also says, hey, I can swim, can't fly. Yeah, there you go. You can swim, you can't fly. If something goes down with the plane, roll credits. That's pretty much it. but all else fails, you can swim, which I guess is dependent on the nature of how, like, the conditions of the conditions under which you wind up being submerged, or the boat that you're in submerging. I mean, I'm pretty sure there are plenty of people who were on the Titanic, for example, that could swim. But when you factor in that Arctic water, dead of night like that, you know, who knows how many people were, like, maybe drunk perhaps, or like they just straight up didn't know how to swim, or like the presumably, I'm trying to remember if there were kids on that ship at the time. I'm pretty sure if there was any history majors or history buffs, like, please feel free to drop a line in the comments feed and correct me on any of that. But it stands to reason that if not for all these external perfect storms of circumstances, there could have been far more survivors from that than there were. But it's just the odds with that sort of thing, it was just too great that you're just not going to survive something like that. So just because you may need to start swimming doesn't necessarily mean you would survive 100%. The odds are better, true, you're right, but And B says, are parachutes allowed as carry-ons? That's a valid question. Maybe if there's a TSA employee able to watch this clip on TikTok, we're going to post some of these weird news clips on TikTok later. Drop a comment. Let us know. Ms. D says, if I ever fly again, I'll be wearing one. Well, there you go. All right, let's move on. Once again, the full story link is in the description down below. Feel free to drop in on that for more information on this or any other topics we've been covering tonight. I think we have a few more and then that's it. Yeah, it's going to be it. So we have about a little less than 20 minutes, coming up on 15 minutes left before the top of the hour. This next one is from UPI. Florida golfer calmly takes shot while alligator approaches. Uh-oh. Gators, more in action. Here we go. This is the second topic tonight that we talked about involving an alligator, basically. Interesting. Okay, so... And if we zoom in really closely here, that looks like a rounded snout. We know for sure that that's an alligator, and not just because the topic says so. Let's just take a look at this video.
All right, so Air's trying to hit his approach shot.
Florida golf.
And this guy decided he wants to join. Hey, man, we got a foursome.
Wow. Yeah, this guy's just straight up strutting into the scene like, yep, I'm here. I'm here.
Come see me about it.
What are you people doing? What are you human beings doing over here? You realize this is my turf, right? Y'all need to get out of here. I'm walking here.
Hey, man.
He's Robert De Niro. I'm walking here. I'm trying walking here. Hurry. Hurry.
That's so Air's trying to hit his approach shot.
Florida golf.
And this guy decided he wants to join. Hey, man, we got a foursome. We're full.
Hang on.
We're good.
Sorry, there we go. Yeah, that was crazy. A video posted to Facebook by Melissa Walsh shows her husband, Michael West, lining up and taking a shot at the Heritage Landing Dolphin Country Club in Punta Gorda while ignoring the alligator approaching him from the rear. West said the alligator most likely was just curious while taking a walk. Quote, he was very likely headed to the bigger lake across the fairway. He was just going about his business. It was great. I get to have a dinosaur watch me play. End quote. Yeah, actually, that's, I'm trying to remember if it's alligators or birds, I think are technically considered dinosaurs, or at the very least, they're closest related genetically to dinosaurs. I think it's birds, actually, but crocodiles, the alligator crocodile family, they're the closest related species. I think it's that birds are related at a genetic level, but crocodiles are like the longest surviving, like to have made it through things like, I think it's the K2 extinction is what they survived through. Somebody like Google that and make sure I'm posting the description or in the live chat or the comments. I don't want to like say incorrect information here. Let's make sure of that before we conclude for sure on that topic, if at all possible tonight. Before we go shut this thing down, we have about 14 minutes to go before the top of the show. Once again, that and all the other topics that we're discussing tonight are linked in the description down below if you want to keep reading on that. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining me right now live on YouTube, as well as live on Instagram @Weekend Showcase. Feel free to drop a comment in the live chat and I might read it off on the air and engage, involve you in the conversation. So let's go ahead and move on. Next topic on the docket, which requires noting the background history here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's go, let's go. Here we go. All right. Next item is again from UPI. Louisiana kangaroo was released from enclosure by a parrot. Okay. I didn't know we were doing a sequel to the movie Pauly. I guess Jay Moore had some free time on his hands. Let's see, July 1, the owners of a kangaroo that was spotted wandering around a Louisiana town said the marsupial was released from his enclosure by a mischievous parrot. The kangaroo named Baxter, it's meow, 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 no, I'm kidding, I know that's cats, was caught on camera wandering around Zachary on Wednesday. Who's Zachary? Is that the parrot? And local police said the animal was safely captured and returned to its home Thursday morning. Baxter's owners run a nonprofit called Bird Recovery International, which specializes in returning exotic wild birds to their natural habitat. They said Baxter shares his home with more than a dozen parrots. Oh, Baxter's the parrot, okay. And one of the birds named Thor recently learned to open the lock to the kangaroo's enclosure. Kangaroos are considered exotic animals under Louisiana law and are illegal to be kept as pets. Oh, wow, I did not know that. It was unclear if Baxter's owners, who formerly owned a zoo, have an exception for the animal due to their wildlife-based nonprofit. This is from Staff ZX. Birds are considered more related to dinosaurs, but crocodiles are reptiles like them. Some think a T-Rex was really a giant chicken. Really? Some who? That sounds like a conspiracy theory of some kind. Honestly, that does to me. Like, hey man, did anyone tell you? Between you and me, T-Rexes are really chickens. Think about it, man. I mean, neither of them can fly, right? Like, they're just, and birds are technically sort of genetically tied to dinosaurs, right? So that pieces of that genetic information might have jumped species. Like, even as a joke, honestly, I'm sorry. Even as a joke, I can't even really entertain that. That is just ridiculous. The more that I think about it, the more that I sort of like talk about it or joke about it, the more I realize that I don't want to even conspiracy theory. That just sounds ridiculous. But okay, thanks for the elaboration, Staff ZX. I don't know who would actually think that the T-Rex is really a giant chicken. I don't follow that at all, but whatever. Noted, I guess. That's pretty much it for this particular topic, apparently. By the way, the topic earlier was mentioning, well, hang on a second. I want to bring this up with exactly the right context here. Where was it? Here we go. The topic mentioned Baxter, the parrot. The Baxter was the kangaroo. I mixed it up again, I'm sorry. The kangaroo is Baxter. That's the name of the kangaroo. Okay, so the kangaroo shares home with more than a dozen parrots, and one of the birds named Thor recently opened the lock to the kangaroo's enclosure. I wanted to circle back and use that sentence in particular to serve as a segue to announce that I actually saw Love and Thunder, the new Thor movie that came out this weekend. I don't know if those of you who are tuned in tonight or are seeing this in clip form later on have had a chance to see it yet. I saw it last night in the theater, and it's, I don't want to say too much on it right now, but I do have some thoughts on it, and I'm going to be posting a spoiler reaction podcast on our audio podcast feed, which is available at anchor.fm/weekendshowcase, and is available on all major podcast outlets. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, all sorts of other places. We're looking to post that on Wednesday, so definitely keep your eyes peeled for that. I'm gonna try to get Alonzo to join me for that as well. Try. Promise that, but I know I'm going to be able to do that. And so you're definitely going to want to keep your eyes peeled for that spoiler reaction podcast if you're into that sort of thing, on the new Thor Love and Thunder movie that came out this weekend, which is in theaters now. So that's all that we have for that particular topic. I think we have one more to go, and then we're going to go ahead and shut this down. Let's see. Oh, a couple more comments from Staff ZX. Well, whales once started off as rat-like creatures. What? Whales started off as rat-like creatures. Evolution's crazy. You don't say. That I did not know. That also sounds like that might need further research, I guess, on my end a little later on. But okay, that's interesting. Thank you for sharing, Staff. Staff CX. Let's move on. Next item, last item on the docket tonight is from Huffington Post. Florida man pretended to be Disney World staffer to steal a famous character, police say. Okay, let's take a look. This was posted on June 30th. Leave it to Florida, right? A Florida man who was looking for a security job at Walt Disney World has been accused of stealing a character statue from the park in May. David Emerson Proudfoot was arrested and is facing third-degree grand theft charges and obstruction by false information after he allegedly donned a Disney name tag and attempted to steal a Star Wars R2-D2 statue worth up to $10,000, Law and Crime reported. A confused Proudfoot was allegedly spotted pushing a car while leaving the Swan and Dolphin Hotel, according to the news outlet. An affidavit said he identified himself with a name of someone who didn't work for Walt Disney World and eventually said he was moving the statue and a game machine, quote, on the property, end quote. The man said he applied for a Disney World security job, the affidavit said, and wanted to move the items to point out security lapses in hopes of getting a better paying position. He allegedly told police it wasn't his goal to take the items to Disney World, although a search warrant at his home, quote, revealed thousands of dollars worth of items, end quote, from the theme park, Law and Crime reported. Wow. Yeah. So I used to study cybersecurity. Like, my undergraduate degree is in computer science, but the focus was information assurance, which is a fancy way of saying cybersecurity. And in that context, you can look at something like this as what's called white hat hacking, where because there are types of hacking. You have white hat hacking, you have gray hat hacking, and then you have black hat hacking. Black hat is basically just you're committing cybercrime. That's basically what that is. Gray hat hacking is sort of like, I'm trying to remember if it's gray or white hat. This may be white hat, I'm sorry. Maybe white hat hacking, where basically you're breaching a computer system and actually and divulging the vulnerability, how it's done, and how to fix it ideally to whatever company is in charge of that server or that system, whatever it is, for no cost, basically. White hat, basically, is what that would be, if I'm not mistaken. And I think gray hat is the one where you do that, but you sort of, I'm trying to remember if gray hat is the one where you published the what you found and exploited publicly, but like not really in conjunction with the company or the individual that owns the system. It's because that's basically what it is that determines the distinction between white and gray and black. Like, it basically, it's a metric to sort of gauge what your intentions are and how cooperative you are with either the owners of the system or law enforcement as far as how to fix the problem, how to resecure the system from the bug or the flaw that you discovered. That's just in a cybersecurity context. This is just straight up crime. This is just straight up crime. There's just really no other way to put it. Brain Spaz says, that's sad. Rabid fan turns attempted thief. Yeah, I guess we can say that, but not even attempted. Like the story said, the police got a search warrant and they found a lot of other stuff there. So it wasn't just a turn thing that just happened with the R2-D2 statue. This individual seems to have had quite a history of theft from there, or I don't know. There seems to be more to it than that, but we really don't really have time to go that much further into that because we are coming up to the top of the hour. We have barely 4 minutes left. But just like all the other topics tonight, I just want to remind that this and all the other topics that we were discussing since the top of the hour are linked in the description down below on the original YouTube video. So those of you who are seeing clips of this on our TikTok page at Weekend Showcase, feel free to check the original video for this stream, and the description will have all the information there. But we do have to wrap this up, unfortunately, Sorry, I had to do a thing really quickly there. But this is now the end of the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. As we wind down, I want to go ahead and point out a couple of things here really quickly. First of all, what was your favorite topic tonight? I gotta say, my favorite topic was probably, goodness, I'm trying to figure out what would be the favorite topic. Probably, you know what? I'll give it to the alligator. I'll give it to the Mayor Mary's alligator thing was my favorite topic for the week, just because of how out of left field it was. And this wasn't for just some random stunt, basically, for no really good reason. This was a thing that was done out of great sort of cultural significance and with a point, with a purpose in mind, you know, as opposed to just sort of messing with nature just cause. You know, I think that's probably the right way to interpret that. And I like that story, I think, this week. Between that and the Nerf Gjallarhorn thing, but I'll give it to this one. I'll give the Mayor Mary's alligator topic that we talked about at the top of the show. What was your favorite topic? Those of you who are in the watching along in the live chat feed, what do you think? Drop a comment down below to continue the convo, and feel free to visit any of our social pages. Remember, we're at Weekend Showcase pretty much everywhere, and we will see you right here once again this coming Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, for another brand new trailer reaction show. Hope to see you then. For now, thank you so much for tuning in and watching live and joining me for this last hour. My name is Don. Please be safe, and I hope you had a great weekend. Showcase you later. Good night.